If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This episode of Keep Calm and Crown On is brought to you by Minute with Mary. If you yourself would like a little pick-me-up, I want to give you my easiest little tip. Throw on a coat of mascara. Just that little magic wand for me makes me feel pulled together and, I don't know, just a little pep in my step again. So if you feel the same way when you swipe on a coat of mascara, you should try out the best mascara there is. Head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount for a 15% discount on my best-selling mascara.
It's funny. I looked at them as I was leaving. My mother, father, grandmother, aunt, even my sister. And I thought, that's what they must have looked like to him.
Who?
The last Prince of Wales. Poor lost soul we just buried. He wasn't like them. He was brighter, wittier, more independent of thought, more true to himself. And so they united against him. And in that moment, as they looked at me in some god-awful way, I realized I've just replaced him.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the Crown on Netflix, so grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so fracking thankful that I was never ever part of the royal family.
Honestly,
I want nothing to do with those
count
brownies.
Your lucky stars.
Listen, I got my own familial issues with you know the larger family writ large. But yeah, no thanks.
And granted, this is a fictionalized version of a show that we're discussing, but I hear ya. You know what there's not going to be?
What's that?
A Netflix series about our life.
No. You actually watch a Netflix series or listen to a Netflix series about our lives by listening to these podcasts. So
very true.
So kind of in a way, we do have a series about us.
Well, listen, if you want to hear more about the things that we like or our lives, we get pretty open in some of our other podcasts as well. Wanted to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast or you can find all of the other things that we talk about over at maryandblake.com to find all of the other podcasts and blogs. For now, let's get into the show. All right, Blake, break down the episode details.
Well, the title of this one, the penultimate episode of season three, The Crown, is entitled Imbroglio. Now, the actual definition of the word imbroglio is, according to Merriam-Webster, is an extremely confused, complicated, or embarrassing situation, which I feel like is apropos for this episode, depending on your perspective. Although, probably for everybody's perspective in this episode.
Yeah.
It's a confusing, embarrassing situation, I think, for pretty much everybody. That's that. The director was Sam Donovan, who did the last episode, The Dangling Man, and the writer, of course, was Peter Morgan, but there was also this other cool little tidbit that was included. Edward Hemming is credited with writing this episode as well, But he really has this specific title of additional materials by, which usually means specific snippets that came into the episode, which would make sense because when you look at Edward Hemming's IMDb profile, you can see that he is basically a researcher for Peter Morgan in all of the films that he has written, like Rush or the Crown movie.
Okay, yeah.
And he's also a producing partner with Peter Morgan. So that's just an interesting little tidbit that I didn't foresee coming. So apparently this guy had put enough into this episode in terms of the writing, so much so that he got credit, which is additional materials by.
Okay.
Which is an interesting thing. Marvin, what do you got for your Corgis rating?
Oh, man.
Your second to last Corgis rating over here.
It is. I got to tell you, I think this was a fiver.
Really?
Yeah. I loved this episode. There were bits about it that just shook me. It was a fantastic episode. Mm-hmm. I love The Crown. Obviously, we podcast about it. But, and maybe it's because I am now fully devoted to these characters as these characters. You know, I have been for a while, but I fell in love with the original people from seasons one and two so much. But really, I think having fleshed out the familial unit and having all of these different chess pieces moving around, this episode was quite the game of chess.
Which is funny when you say that you now love these characters.
I mean, I don't love them, actually. I love to watch them on TV.
That's what I'm saying. Like you like watching them on TV, and you.
I don't want any of them to be my best friend.
No,
except Anne.
No. Maybe Anne. You know, maybe Margaret. Margaret might be your best friend.
I want to have brunch with Anne and Margaret.
Just to see
like
what it's
boozy like. Brunch at 10:30.
Mimosas for days.
Oh yeah, after so like an award mimosas. Ceremony. Like that's what I want. Like the boozy mimosa brunch with Anne and Margaret.
Oh, you could talk all the tea about everybody. Oh my goodness gracious! Yes.
Boom.
No. But it's funny that you say that because the only character that I've found myself really clinging to is Charles in this whole series so far. Of course, you know, we do have the Tobias Menzies, Prince Philip aspect of it all.
Yes.
But that really has nothing to do with the character of Prince Philip. That has more to do with my obsession with Tobias Menzies. So, yeah, the only person that I found connecting to at all in this entire season was, in fact, Charles. And I find it quite nice that this is the episode that kind of caps off, so at least from what we can see.
We spent a great deal of time feeling sympathetic for Charles in this season.
Yeah, you know, starting with Tuasag Cymru and then following that up with its spiritual cousin, if you will, the Dangling Man, and now this one, which kind of closes out that arc that began all the way back in Tuasag Cymru. So, as someone who has not watched the first two seasons, and by design, I have not watched the first two seasons, I don't know if I'm absolutely in love with The Crown. I don't know if I'm absolutely in love with the cast. But having said that, I really liked this episode, and I'm going to give it a 4.8. I'm going to put it on the same level as the last episode, Dangling Man. I think there is so much great, and there's this one nagging thing that I have that it prevents me from giving it a 4.9 or 5. So,
mind you, still can mean you love this episode.
Yeah, so we'll go from that. All right, what do you got for your GBG?
Okay, my good was watch out for your family. They don't mean well.
Yeah.
Like, what I mean? Or that, you know,
he says they mean well. And she says, no, they don't. Oh.
And then that shot turning to the whole family. Oh my, like what we heard. Oh my God, so good.
Yep.
My bad. The like prime minister piano playing guy. I'm bored with you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling that out, Ma, but I'm very proud of you for calling that out.
Like, I enjoy the candlelight thing. I enjoy the fact that there were these electricity issues going on and people had to deal with it. I thought it was actually something very interesting to watch right now as we're going through a lot of, you know, stay-at-home orders and just people having to live their lives in a very different way.
Sure.
So, in that essence, I like it, but like, I don't care about this guy, and I don't care that you play the piano as a kid and you were poor. I don't. I don't care about you. Get out of here.
And what's worse is that Elizabeth seems not at ease with him. She feels very distant from him, which is completely opposite in what they allude to in this episode than with Harold Wilson, the previous prime minister,
yeah.
right? So, like, you already have this feeling of not liking this dude to begin with.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't care about even his storyline.
Yep.
Like, just get over it. They needed to use candles and he stinks.
Yep. What's your grade?
The music in this episode.
Ooh.
Yes.
It was this crazy low chant, or it made you feel like it, like doom is coming for you.
Yeah.
We just recently watched The Princess and the Frog, and you know, there are these like shadow characters who kind of come. You're gonna have to get like a Disney.
No!
That's one of the sounds you're gonna need to get, is like the last couple of notes of like the Disney theme or something.
I for like our that. Disney That's a mentions. Good idea.
But just these like dark shadows that are coming to get you that you can't always see. And it's just like, that's what I was feeling with this. It reminded me, it was such a low tone that it reminded me of like the Batman score.
Ooh, good one.
The Christopher Nolan version Hans Zimmer.
Yep.
Just like this really low unease. And it was perfect. But it was so good that I even commented it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a third of the way through the episode, I said, this music is amazing.
Yes, I totally agree. Well, you know, the funny thing is that when you talk about Hans Zimmer collaborated with Rupert Gregson Williams on this score.
Get out.
Well, Hans Zimmer wrote the opening theme.
Okay, yes.
Which you can tell is very Hans Zimmer-y. But Rupert Gregson Williams is like of that Hans Zimmer school. Like, you know who also is of that school?
Who?
Is Ramin Djawadi.
Yes.
From Game of Thrones and Westworld and everything.
Well, this then makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like
they like to make you uneasy.
Yes, absolutely.
Utilizing shake you to your core pitches. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like really low.
You feel it in your chest.
Yeah.
Like you feel that, like where it's almost hard to breathe a
yeah.
little bit. And you're right, Mary. It gives you a huge sense of unease. It gives you a huge sense of almost instability, where you can feel yourself coming off, like falling off of an edge with that score, which I totally agree. All right. For me, the good was the use of Starman, the song from David Bowie,
okay.
as Anne is driving to the palace. And I love that use of Starman because, first of all, it plays off of what happened with Prince Philip in the moon and everything, and how that was a whole huge big deal.
Yes.
But also, it's that song, that whole album, the Ziggy Stardust album, is just such a surreal album. It's one of my favorite albums ever written, because it's if you ever get a chance, go listen to David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust. It's a masterpiece on every level, and it just takes you on this ride, and Starman is part of it. But it also highlights this surreal setting of the palace in the midst of all of the troubles with the electricity, and how when Anne is driving up, she's driving up to a candlelit palace. Mm-hmm. And that's juxtaposed against the 1972 Starman. Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
You can never go wrong playing David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust. You can't go wrong. But what a great, like, not a parallel, but just a great comparison, how they play off of each other. The bad for me was the shot of Charles at the end in his cabin on his ship. And he's just sitting there looking so hopeless and helpless. And there's this one little tear coming off of his face.
Why was that bad?
I'll tell you why it was my bad.
Okay.
Because everything in this episode, it was like somewhat of a heightened reality, but it was still, it felt real to me. Like it felt like